This is Will Cooper. I'm at the 2017 IPCPR Trade Show and Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada on the final day. I'm here with Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust owner Steve Saka. Good morning, Steve. How's it going?
Great, Coop. How you doing?
Well, pretty good now that I remembered to turn the microphone on for this actual interview here.
So, what you missed was amazing. We had this incredible 50-minute discussion, but you're not getting that now. The time's gone.
All right. So, Steve, we kind of talked a bunch about, we talked a little about IPCPR. You mentioned there's some changes. And I think one thing what you said that was very interesting when we were talking off the air was that they do an awful lot right here, but things have to change.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult situation. I mean, the IPCPR isn't designed to make somebody rich. It's designed to earn money for the organization so they continue to fight the legislative and legal efforts in the state level and the federal level. So it is critical for the show to be successful for the organization. At the same time, it's also critical for the show to be successful for the people that show at the show. And it's also necessary for it to be successful for the retailers themselves that are buying. And you're in an environment that it's very difficult to find venues that allow you to smoke, and the costs continue to escalate. So it's a real challenge, but I know that the current model, and as hard as they try and everything that they do, it just seems year after year, the amount of foot traffic, the number of actual buyers that are attending seems to be decreasing, and that's a problem. And so some different approach needs to be taken. And not even so much for a company like myself, because, you know, we're a young, booming, you know, growing company. We still are gaining customers every single trade show, and our business increases. But for the larger guys who write everybody every show, it's definitely a problem. And for the really smaller guys who really need the exposure, having less eyeballs walk by their booth gives them that much less opportunities. So something I think is going to have to change. Exactly what that will be, I don't have a magic answer.
Now, as far as you go, 2 years ago, Sober Mesa did very well for you. Last year, Mi Querida does very well for you. This year, Todos Los Dias. I mean, how did that do this week?
People bought it. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't really matter how it does this week. I mean, what's going to count is once it ends up in the retail stores and the cigar smokers have a chance to sample it and try it and smoke it, ultimately they're going to be the ones that determine how well it does or doesn't do. I mean, you know, from a sales weedy point of view, we did great. It was amazing. We collected a lot of money. But from how it did, we won't know that answer until months, if not a year from now.
And I remember you and I also had a conversation, you know, when Sober Mesa, it was a big hit a couple years ago, but you've seen that brand maintain some legs since it's been introduced into the market.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when it first got out, it did, the sales were tremendous on it. And then they kind of a little bit slowed, it dipped a little bit. But now what we're actually seeing is we're actually selling more Sober Mesa today than we have ever sold, because now what's ending up happening is you're now getting the typical average cigar smoker who probably doesn't follow, you know, the blogs and the internet. They're now finally getting an opportunity to smoke it and try it and compare it to the other cigars that they usually smoke, and they seem to be enjoying it and adding it to their rotation. So I, at this point, about 2 years in, I have real faith in the brand. It seems as though it's got a real steady customer core base that is growing.
In terms of Sober Mesa, which is the Vitola that's kind of doing the best right now for you?
For me, the best seller right now is Short Churchill, and that's the one that's probably the most favored by that more keyed-in consumer. But very close to that, the Robustos and Toros, which is the typical pattern that you see in almost every single brand. Robusto Toros are the number one, number two sellers, flipping and flopping between the two. And it's no different in Sober Mesa. The only thing that's weird in Sober Mesa is Cervantes Fino, the Lonsdale, does incredibly well, and the Short Churchill does really well. But those are much more, I don't want to say epicurean, but they're more for the guy in the know.
Now, this year, you didn't, it's not new, but you're kind of showcasing a size of Mi Querida called the Gordita.
Right. We're really showcasing two. We're showcasing the Mas Sucia. It's a 7x64, comes in a 10-count box. And it's actually, of the Mi Queridas, it's actually the strongest of the Ligas. And it's kind of really meant for, I don't know, probably the consumer that really enjoys a digger would probably find the Masusia a nice change of pace kind of smoke, because it isn't as peppery as a digger, but it's more on the real heavy, earthy side, full-bodied. And then we also have the a plump little Corona, fat Corona, skinny Robusto, whatever you want to call it, called a Gordita, and it's a 4x48. And the Gordita smokes pretty much the same as all the other Miqueritas. It's just in a smaller package, but because of the way it's constructed, you typically end up getting like 45 minutes to an hour worth of smoking out of it, even though it's such a short cigar.
And I agree. I've smoked that cigar several times, actually, and along with the short Churchill, I find they both smoke long enough to keep me interested, despite being a short smoke.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to what tobaccos you choose and how you bunch them and how you eventually set them up. So you can take a small cigar and you can actually make it last quite a while if you know what you're doing.
Tortosos DS, we kind of touched on it earlier. It's your first Nicaraguan puro under Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to think about it.
So give us a little backstory on that cigar.
Well, Todos Los Dias is improperly named. It should have been Los instead of Las. I know that. And it has to do with an interaction I had with a gentleman named Estela Padron, who was a master maker at Villazon back quite a few years ago. And it was kind of a joke. And it basically, Todos Los Dias, and rather than me try to explain it, it's much better that someone reads it online because it's rather lengthy. But
we have it on Cigar Coop, so you can check it out.
Perfect. I mean, the cigar itself, I wanted to make a really strong cigar. I mean, something that the strength junkies would really enjoy. You know, also for myself, what I want, something that's really super, super heavy. And but I wanted to do something different because there's a lot of really good, super strong cigars out there. But I didn't want to just make another one, so I wanted to try to take a different approach. So the Todos Los Dias, it really is one of these cigars that when you initially light it, it doesn't slap you in the face. It actually starts off very medium, I think, and it just gradually intensifies as you're smoking the cigar. And it's really at about the halfway point that you really start to feel it. And by the time you get to the band, it's arguably one of the strongest cigars in the marketplace currently today. And it's also got this really kind of different trait to it. It's got like rather than having a black pepper hit on the palate, it's more like a sweet chili pepper, a cayenne pepper. So it really warms the sides of your tongue and then eventually the flat of your tongue in the back. And it has a long, lingering, kind of warming spice. It's a really unique cigar. So the question's going to be, are the guys that like really high-octane cigars going to appreciate this totally different approach to it? Or are they going to say, wow, you know, it really isn't. I'm really curious to see what the average consumer that smokes stronger cigars thinks of it, because it is a much, much different cigar than anyone that I've ever made, and actually anyone that I've ever smoked. I can't think of another cigar that actually works that way in the market to this degree. But you know, you smoke more cigars from different companies than I do, so.
Well, there's a lot. You know, one thing I've said, Steve, though, this year is I felt innovation as far as cigars has really been at a low this year. And I think a lot of it's the environment with regulation. But this, you know, obviously something, you know, hearing this, that's refreshing, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the point of making something that's the same as somebody else already has? I mean, ultimately, you want to try to expand the lexicon of experiences for people. The question I don't know is, I know that if I had just made something that was uber black pepper, strong, slap you in the face style of a bomb, well, I would have definitely probably, I wouldn't be wondering whether I'm going to get the long-term sales. But I think, you know how I am. I make cigars just for me. So I make them till I like them, and then I just hope other people tend to find some find merit in what I make. So we'll see what happens.
Now, I was with you in the booth yesterday, and you had an interesting little device that you were using to kind of check these Todos Los Dias cigars. What was that?
Yeah, it's called a psychrometer, and what the psychrometer does is it allows me to measure the absolute moisture in the cigar. Because, I mean, when we at home and in humidors and even in warehouses, we, you know, basically set a relative humidity level, and that's how we try to equalize the cigars. But You know, in a factory environment, we have to incorporate water in order to work the tobaccos. So the first thing you have to do is you have to wick those excess moisture out. And that's done in the escapartes, in the cool room. And depending on the blend and the nature of the tobacco, you know, it can take as little as 3 weeks. It can take as much as 8 weeks. And for whatever reason, the Todos Los Dias, the materials are really holding on to the moisture. So even though they're 12 weeks since they were made, they're still too moist. So I was using the psychrometer to actually measure the true moisture content because I didn't want to give anybody, you know how it is here at the trade show. Manufacturers give you cigars that are wet and young all the time. And they say to you, don't smoke it, it's not ready, blah, blah, blah. And I don't like to do that. So basically, I basically tested all 1,000 cigars one by one myself to see what the actual moisture content was in them. And I've only been giving out the ones that are close to the level that I want them at.
Good for you. Good for you. And I mean, I've had the other problems where someone's told me to smoke it and the dryness. I've had dryness problems out here and they've cracked and it just ruins the experience. So I agree. I applaud you for that approach.
Thank you.
Okay, one final question. Muestra de Saca, Naka Tamale. I got to ask you, what is Naka Tamale mean?
Yeah, Naka Tamale is it's a very typical Nicaraguan dish. It's a corn mesa tamale in which they put like typically either grilled chicken, roasted pork, and some potato, a little bit of Spanish olive, some onion. Everyone has their own little recipe as to what actually goes in, and it then gets all, and it's a big, heavy tamale. It's like, when you think of a Mexican tamale, just imagine that and multiply it by like nearly 20, actually. It's absurdly large. And then they wrap it in a banana leaf, and then the whole thing gets boiled, and it's one of these things that when you pick it up, it literally weighs over 2 pounds. And you open it, and it's honestly one of the most disgusting things. It really, it kind of looks like stiff vomit on a plate, but it is just so damn delicious. And it's the, they only make them over the weekends, Fridays and Saturdays. They're kind of meant as a post-hangover food. They're like a real comfort food, but they're belly bombs, and they're delicious. And it happens to be one of my favorite Nicaraguan foods.
So I kind of sensed from that explanation, and I was going to ask you, how in the world did that become the name? But I think I sensed it, that limited, you only make that dish on the weekend, something that's really delicious to you and that was appropriate to this cigar.
Yeah. I seem to have a tendency to like to name things after food. I wonder why that is.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for everything. Best of luck to you for the rest of the year. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from you soon.
All right. Sounds great.
Take care.
Bye.